Hi, welcome to Church of the Beloved's weekly sermon podcast. My name is John Kim, and I serve as the production manager here at COTB. This week's message is brought to us by Church Life Pastor Benjamin Crook, preaching from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13.
I'll be reading from Acts 2, 1 through 13 today. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Good to be with you all. Happy to be with you all. It's an exciting season in the life of our community, is it not? Just some transitions on the horizon. We are growing, hopefully not just in numbers, but also internally, spiritually. So I'm just glad to be here with you all. Hopefully, if you're just joining us, you find here in this gathering some people who are not all put together, but some folks who are being filled by the Holy Spirit, being transformed over time, who are healing both internally and externally, who are growing in many ways and who are going. That's a huge part of our mission and vision at this church. And so if you're just joining us, welcome. We hope that you find here some people who also just know, internally know that we are the beloved. We are the beloved of God because of who Christ is and because of Christ alone. So I hope you sense that here if you're just joining us. If you are just joining us and if you weren't here last week, Pastor Derek just began us and launched us on a series last week entitled Uncontainable. My first thought when I heard that was, y'all remember, if you're kind of on that millennial Gen Z cusp, do you remember that Chris Tomlin song? Uncontainable. Y'all remember that one? Okay, a couple people do. All right. Uncontainable. And in this series, Uncontainable, for the next 2-3 months, we're going to be charting the journey of the early church, this first group of ragtag people who are then filled with the power and the presence of God in the early church. And that's outlined in this whole story of Acts. So we're going to be journeying through chronologically the story of Acts. Uncontainable, a witness that is indeed uncontainable, irreducible, irrepressible might be another word. So today we now get to the chapter after chapter one, where, as Pastor Derek preached, the disciples are asked to do that really unglamorous thing. To wait, to stay, to linger with the promise that God's power would come upon them. That's chapter one. And finally, today now, we get to perhaps one of the most important, the most famous, the most central chapters in the entire Bible. For it constitutes kind of the beginning of the people of God, the beginning of the local church. So let's jump into that today. I'm excited. I hope you are. I hope that you'll be present. I am present to you and to the Spirit. I ask now that you would be too. Amen. All right, will you pray with me? Triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, would you now come and rest upon this group, this gathering? Would you speak to us? God, speak to our hearts individually and collectively. We need to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Our hearts are open. God, if you're not speaking, There is no good news preached if you're not moving. There are no lives transformed. And yet we are gathered as a way of proclaiming. We long to be made different, long to be made new in you. So God, would you speak? Have thine own way. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We will be careful to give you all the glory. And Lord, now with the meditations of all our hearts, God, would the imperfect words of my mouth, would they be pleasing in your sight? You are our rock. You are our Redeemer. Pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. From the first pages of the Bible to the last pages of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we are encountering a God who does not stay put. A God who is constantly on the move. A God who chooses to dwell not at a distance, but a God who chooses to be on the move with God's people in proximity. And for the majority of the scriptural witness, particularly in the Old Testament, we find that the presence of God is to be found in particular places. The presence of God is found hovering above the waters and found in Eden. The presence of God is to be found in a burning bush. The presence of God is found in a pillar of fire. Or God is also in the wilderness with a wandering Israel. The presence of God is in the tent filled with glory. His presence is in a physical temple, in the Holy of Holies. For the most of the biblical story, the presence of God is contained in particular places. Now, of course, there are unique moments throughout Scripture where the Spirit would come upon a unique individual uniquely for just a specific task, for a particular anointing. Think of Samson or maybe King David. But this is always these are always moments that are selective and temporary and task-specific. So the well-understood notion up until this point in Acts chapter 2 is that if you wanted to encounter the presence of God, you go to a specific place where God's presence was. You go to a mountain or a tent or a temple or a tabernacle. But God now, in God's loving creativity, who refuses to stay put, here in chapter 2 of Acts, we find that a group of disciples who've been asked to wait, asked to stay, are now chilling in one place. They're around the table. They're in a room waiting just as Jesus has asked them to do. And by this point, remember, Jesus has already ascended to heaven. So Jesus is no longer physically with them, but he has told them and he has promised them in multiple occasions that he has promised that his presence will now dwell with them in a different way, in the form of what Jesus in one place calls as an advocate or as a helper. And just the chapter before in Acts chapter 1, he says, you will be filled with power and I will send to you my Holy Spirit. You will be filled with power. So here they are. Imagine the scene. The disciples here hanging out, waiting, doing as they're supposed to do. And boom! The sound of rushing, violent wind fills this house. And this is the crazy image, fire, wind and fire and something like divided tongues, not just a singular pillar of fire like it once was, but now fire that somehow divides and partitions off and does not rest alone in just the space. But where does the spirit and the tongues of fire rest? Rests on the individual people. This is different. This is what's so wild and so radical about this day we call Pentecost. the birth of the people of God. On this day in Acts chapter 2, the very presence of God is now poured out, not just on places, but on individual people. The presence of God has relocated from places to people. I mean, this is crazy. Like, think about this. The very presence of an all-powerful, all-loving, all-sustaining God now rests, now indwells not just places that are holy or sacred, though those are a thing, but now takes residence in individual people internally. The presence of God indwelling individuals. Wow. I don't know about you, but I take that for granted most days, if I'm honest. Or maybe you hear that and it's like, oh, well, yeah. No, that is wild. That is unprecedented. That is shocking. An all-powerful presence of the Most High now fills, indwells, is poured out upon, rests upon people individually. You and you and you and you. God's presence dwells not in places, but God's people now. That is so crucial to understand. But then it doesn't end there. This is what's wild. It gets even wilder. As if wind and fire and tongues of fire that are just splitting off and resting on people weren't enough, just three verses in the second half of verse 4, what happens? They began to speak other languages. They began to speak other languages. What most people think of this, they often associate Acts 2 with what Paul will later call in 1 Corinthians, speaking in tongues. And now usually what most people think of is the gift of tongues. This is not what Luke is talking about. What Paul is later talking about in 1 Corinthians is the ecstatic heavenly language that usually requires an interpreter, that usually is for the edification of a private worshiper. That is the gift of tongues. That also comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is something different than what comes in Acts chapter 2. And I think we often conflate those two. It's an understandable mistake. But notice the language that they are enabled to speak here in Acts chapter 2. It is not just an ecstatic heavenly language. What is it? They are foreign languages that other people hear in their native tongue. Verse 6, the crowd has gathered and they heard them speaking in their own native languages. These are human languages, in other words. This crowd is, look at the words, bewildered, amazed, astonished, because they are now hearing this group of Spirit-filled disciples speak languages they otherwise do not know. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, I think that's the Fertile Crescent, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome. How many continents is this? It's at least three. Jews, non-Jews, Cretans. Cretans are indigenous islanders. Arabs. All hearing this group of Galileans that don't know another language, now speaking in all these other languages. Let me try to break this down. Let's just pretend for a sec. Imagine, go here with me, all right? Y'all ready? Okay, we're gonna do it. Imagine this, sí, gracias. Imagine for just a second, in this room right here, in this gathering, everyone in here only knows English, okay? We only know English. Here we are waiting to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In this room, overflow, we're not to you yet. Here you are. We are waiting, anticipating, expectantly hoping for the Spirit and the power of God, which Jesus promised would come. And boom, It falls, tongues of fire, rushing violent wind, falls on all of us, all right? And now remember, we all only know English. You don't know different languages. I know some of y'all do. But now, as the Spirit falls and rests individually on all of us, you back there start speaking Russian. And you didn't know any language but English, but now you're speaking Russian. And you are now speaking Swahili. And you are now speaking Japanese. And you are now speaking Spanish. Okay. And now let's just imagine, for an instance, that there is a crowd beginning to swell out there in the overflow. And in that overflow room, there are people who are from Japan and from Russia and from Mexico who speak Spanish. And they are beginning to hear people who otherwise only speak English now proclaiming the goodness of the gospel and the good news of the kingdom of God to them in their own languages. Y'all get me? Are you with me? So now people out there who know these other languages that are intimately known to them, their mother tongues, think about that intimacy. They are now hearing a group of Galileans, people who only know this one language, filled with a power to now communicate in languages that are known and intimate to them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How wild is that? That is a unique power, and it's a power different than I think we often assume comes with the Holy Spirit filling us, isn't it? I mean, we got to slow down with this story because it's kind of like, wow, this is way different than for a lot of us what we were taught growing up, I think. Here is the point I think Luke is trying to get us to see. The power that comes with the presence. The power is not simply that they are just speaking different languages, although that is wild. It is that people from every nation are now understanding the gospel in their own language. In other words, the emphasis is not just on ecstatic speech, but on Spirit-enabled comprehension across difference. Did y'all hear me? The emphasis is not on ecstatic speech. It is on Spirit-enabled comprehension across difference. That is intimate. Can you imagine the depth of connection there in this moment? Do you see how Spirit-enabled power does not erase, nor does it flatten cultural particularity? But transcends difference for the sake of connection, communication, communion. Isn't it interesting that when those disciples received the power that Jesus promised, it wasn't a power against people, it wasn't a power over people, it is only a power for people. This is the first thing we see, the first manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit filling regular people. A power for other people we otherwise would have no business being in relationship with. We'd have no business otherwise being able to relate to. It's not about making the disciples impressive. Luke seems to be making it clear that the primary visible marker of the Spirit's power in our lives is that the gospel becomes intelligible across every divide, every barrier. It becomes understandable. It becomes relatable. And the gospel becomes comprehensible to every nation, tribe, and tongue. That is the point of Pentecost. And the point of Pentecost is also the birth of the church. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians. Translation, people from everywhere. Asian people, white people, brown people, black people, poor people, rich people, old people, young people, city people, country folk. The gospel becomes understandable, relatable, comprehensible, intelligible because of the power of the Holy Spirit filling regular people. To use the language of Pentecost and Gen Z, that's fire. That is fire. Come on, y'all. That's so cool. What if, for us, the primary and the visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit indwelling you and I was that we were filled with this capacity to connect, to commune across very formidable lines of difference, across very serious divisions, very serious divides? Are we not in a time right now that is so polarized, so divided, so divisive? Friends, I just want to tell you today, I want to encourage you of the truth that because of the Holy Spirit poured out, I mean, think about this. Because of that, because of this day, Acts chapter 2, what starts in this one day and now is continuing on forever, and the gates of hell will not prevail. We now have the presence of God indwelling us, and we have then the power. The presence of God now lives within us, and the power of God now lives within us. Three real quick things for all my note takers. I know you're in here. You won't say amen to me, but you will take notes, and I love that for you. I love that for y'all. You know what? Whatever. Three things. Ready? Three things about the power, the particularity of the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. Firstly, it is a witnessing power. We turn to your neighbor and say, witnessing power. You have now, because of the Spirit, a witnessing power. They are filled with the Spirit, and immediately they begin to speak. Curious. Not to perform, not to impress, not something even gratifying for themselves. I mean, this is the power from on high, and it's a power that makes them speak and connect with other people. You have witnessing power, note takers. Secondly, you have, ready, missional power. You have missional power. The Spirit fills them, and they are just thrown outward into the lives of other people, inaugurating, think about that language, and then ushering in the beginning of God's global mission. Missional power, uncontainable witness. Thirdly, it is also a bridge building power. What you and I have, what those in Christ have, is a bridge building, barrier busting power. And might I suggest we should be the one group of people who can traverse all kinds of divides that we see in our world. We should be the one group of people because we have the Holy Spirit. What are we doing? If you're familiar also with the broader biblical narrative, aka if you're a Bible nerd, you will notice that this whole Pentecost scene sounds a little like a different scene we've talked about and preached on actually before, a couple months ago. It might remind you of something we've seen earlier in Scripture, because this is not the first time that language and nations show up in one place. Do you remember this? Remember back in Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel? And remember when humanity then tried to build unity towards each other without God. They tried to make a name for themselves. They tried to reach heaven on their own terms. And what happens? How does language function in that story? Genesis 11, language becomes confused. Understanding fractures and divides. People scatter. And then here in Acts 2, now following Jesus and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, God is not scattering people in judgment, but God is now gathering people in love and mercy and inclusion. At Babel, look at this. At Babel in Genesis 11, language divides. And in Pentecost now, language is connecting miraculously. At Babel, humanity is trying to ascend. And in Pentecost, the Spirit of God is descending. At Babel, their pride is producing all of this fragmentation. And at Pentecost, the Spirit is producing communion across every nation, tribe, and tongue. This reality alone is what makes the church, the church. Because the presence of God has relocated from places to people, the church now, hear this is important. The church is not a place. The church is not a place. The church is a people. The church is not a place. The church is now the people because the body of Christ, you and I, are constituted and then sustained by the presence of God and the power of God. I'll put that in a more sticky way. The presence of God plus the power of God equals the people of God. Any other formulation of church that does not begin there is just frankly not the church. It could be a cool social gathering, but it's not the church. The church categorically, fundamentally, foundationally are a people spirit-filled, spirit-formed, spirit-led. That's what makes the people of God the people of God. The ecclesia, to use New Testament language, the called out ones, the peculiar people. Wow, that's a hard word. Peculiar. No Holy Spirit, no presence, no presence, no power. No presence and no power, no church, no church, no witness. You do not live out there in the world and come to church. Can we just crucify that idea right now? You do not live out there in the world and come to church. You are the church and you go to the world. That makes all the difference. Missional power, witnessing power, bridge building power. What makes us the church is not good marketing. Not social media team. It's not a gifted worship team. It's not a gifted preacher. It's not a building. It's not a sanctuary. It's not sharing good food together even, as beautiful and good as that is. It's not even about being around people who you like, who seem like you, who come from the same cultural background as you. The church is the body of people who have received the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, who are then enabled and empowered to take part in God's mission in the world. A mission of healing and liberation and self-giving love. Praise God. Because of Pentecost, you and I, and we together, can now be the dwelling place of the Most High. Sit with that for just a second. Because of Pentecost, you and I can become a holy place. Because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, your heart can become a holy place. Ooh. So I just want to encourage you. Now I'm going to sit down. Maybe you're feeling unclean. Maybe you're feeling far from anything holy. Maybe you're feeling like a mess up or a screw up. Or a hypocrite. Can I just remind us, encourage us, we have power. It's just not the kind of power you're probably thinking, but you've got a power in you. We collectively, overflow included, have a power in us. It's a power for other people. It is a power to make legible the good news which we have received. You have a witnessing power. You have a spirit-given capacity to transcend divisions, to move towards the life and the reality of another inside of you. And so some of you may be even feeling powerless in here. There's people in here who I'm sure are feeling powerless against grief, powerless against the waves of despair, powerless when you look out at our world or our country, at what our governments around the world are doing. Can I just remind you, not so. You are not powerless. We are not without power. We aren't. The Spirit of God dwells in you. So when we gather, when we move, when we engage, are you aware? Are you aware of that presence? Here, now, always. And sometimes I bring this up to say that sometimes I worry that obviously who is central and the cornerstone and foundational for us is the worship of Jesus. And rightly so, we center and adore and glorify Jesus. Can I just remind you, that is all an impossibility apart from the Holy Spirit. There is no worship in Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no participating in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. That is the importance of Pentecost. So may we be the church, huh? May we embody that. The presence of God alive here now in the world through us. The power of God, which transcends all division, everything that keeps you apart from other people. May we be a people who can commune from West Loop to West Garfield, from North Lawndale to the North Side, across every nation, tribe, and tongue. That's a spirit-enabled ability that you and I now embody. Let's be the church, huh? You pray with me. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us. Lead us into an awareness of your presence. Teach our hearts, and I know mine is so distractible and so wayward, so self-centered. But I trust your power more than I trust my own. We trust your power more than we trust our ability. So God, would you open the eyes of our heart? Would you open our ears? Open our eyes to see you, to see your presence, and to see your power at work in us, in this body, in this local gathering, in this city, in this country, in this world. Lord, make our hearts a holy place, a dwelling place of the Most High. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the advocate. Thank you for the help you send. Thank you for the promise that there is nothing that we will face without you now. Lord, remind us, we are not yet powerless. God, would you strengthen our hearts? Ignite our minds. Give us imagination. Lord, give us fresh vision for what your kingdom will look like here and now in Chicago. Holy Spirit, would your wind blow where you want to? And would we be willing and open? Pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit now poured out among us. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's COTB podcast. For more information or to connect with us online, you can find us at cotb.life.